I guess we're being recorded. So we'll get started. And I know we have a few updates, but before we get to that, let's do, if I can have a motion to adopt the minutes from the June 22nd meeting, I'd appreciate that.
So moved. Lisa Hancock.
Thank you, Lisa.
John Alcester, second.
Thank you, John. All righty. Anybody have any amendments to the minutes as presented? All right. Don't hear anybody speaking up. So all those in favor of adopting the minutes of June 22nd as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstention, Sharon Howe.
Thank you, Sharon. All righty. Kim, I can't tell if any public is on, but I'll ask for public comment at this point.
I don't believe so.
All righty. Great. Thank you. And so item three is a brief discussion update on solid waste. And we had presented to the executive committee of the policy board, oh heck, I think it was early July or the end of June, I can't recall specifically, just to bring them up to date on some discussions that we had, a kind of a subcommittee of municipal services group and the Central Solid Waste Authority, Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority. And so I'm going to let Pauline, if you want to outline the discussion and the suggestion that the executive committee made that they want to bring to the policy board, I believe next week.
Yes, it would be next Wednesday that would be coming before the policy board is that we had the discussion, as everybody know, about with regards to the MIRA issue and then closing and all of that. And with regards to that, the executive committee suggested bringing to the policy board a proposal or resolution to hire a consultant to look at what are really the realistic long-term options and what are the potential options, what are the costs, what are the, just to outline exactly what the cost benefits are for all of the options. And these are some of the things that we had, you know, just thrown together in terms of long-term, it's clear that keeping MIRA alive is not a long-term option. So what are the alternative options for that long-term? Where are the potential locations? What are the ramifications of those locations? Mayor Bronin at that meeting suggested that they wanted it, he would like it near the water treatment sewer plant, but that has the additional complication of having to close Brainerd Airport if you wanted to locate it there. So there's a lot of moving parts with regards to the different locations. He was not adverse to locating it in Hartford. He just didn't want it where it is right now. So that's something and then what are the permits that would be required for that? All information that we would need. And then once you sort of have a direction for the long-term, what are the short and medium-term options? So doing the long-term new plant opportunities would take is a 10-year proposition at a minimum in terms of getting everything that you need to do to get that up and running. So what do you do between the 5 and 10 years before you reach that, before you have that up and running, and what are the options for that, and the benefits and risks associated with that? All information that we don't really have right now in terms of what the options would be. And so this is what we're going to be bringing to the policy board next week to hire someone to figure out what those options would be. I think that's the best way to describe that.
Thanks, Pauline, for that that overview. I guess I'll open it up to committee members at this point to add to that, those folks that have been involved in the task committee or task team, or other members of that are online right now to be able to ask questions of this discussion to go to the policy board next week. Anybody have anything to add or have questions?
Hey, Peter, this is Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. I'm just wondering if we've had any conversation with DEEP on this and maybe if we're seeking any state funding to offset the cost of the consultant.
Mm-hmm. Pauline, I don't believe there has been any discussions about CROG potentially going forward with a consultant. I know there had been previous conversations that Mike had with members of the DEP staff, but I don't think regarding this outline of a planning study. So I think that, Pauline, you confirming that?
Yeah, correct? we have not had discussions with DEEP regarding input from with their whether they would be willing to contribute to such an effort. But we can definitely reach out to them and see what their willingness is with regards to this. I mean, I have to confess, I was a little discouraged with the last conversation with DEEP because their response to with regards to the MIRA closing was, well, what do the MIRA towns want? The MIRA towns have to decide what they want. That was their, at the same time, hamstringing MIRA with regards to the different proposals that MIRA had, or options that MIRA laid out for them. So, but we could definitely reach out to Katie Dykes or other people in DEEP and see what we'll definitely have to get their input and their once we have this underway. But we'll reach out beforehand.
And I would suggest that's the same with MIRA, with the board at MIRA, or at least mm-hmm. Mr. Kirk at a minimum. Mm-hmm. And I know there's members online right now that are also on the MIRA board, but certainly my suggestion would be that they would be involved. They hold a lot of the information anyway mm-hmm. that is going to be needed for any kind of consultant review. And
right, correct. Definitely do that.
So I guess that's one of the questions that I had in the intervening weeks since the executive committee had met is, how do we work with or partner with MIRA on, on at least getting the information. And I don't want to be looking like we're on an island by ourselves, because many of us are members of MIRA or have agreements with MIRA in some form or fashion. So, so I don't want it to be considered to be viewed as a confrontation or conflict, but that's just some thoughts have come to mind how we work together mm-hmm. potentially.
Peter, absolutely. Mike Bezeis here. One of the things we had discussed earlier on was reaching out to other COGs because this is obviously a statewide problem. I don't know if that's been done as far as funding and if it would be expanded if we're going to hire a consultant to do that. And I guess the other question is more for Pauline on CROG's behalf, the timetable for getting in, this proposal out there and getting it back and stuff. Any ideas on how that would come together?
I mean, I think ideally it's the sooner the better to get this out. Once the policy board approves it, I think we would start moving on an RFP fairly quickly after that. I don't want to, I sort of feel like there is a June 22 deadline in some ways for at least to have options out there. But I think that's very aggressive to have conclusions out there by then. So but we would move on hiring a consultant fairly quickly after once the policy board approves, have something, at least a draft of an RFP out by October for members to review, and then take things from there.
Does anybody have a update on, there was some media attention regarding the solid waste, converting the current permit at the Meadows to a transfer station. And I can't remember exactly if Deep was saying, heck no, there's no way that's going to happen, or if there was an opening for Mirror to be able to get a permit adjustment. I'm not sure anybody online knows where that stands. That's certainly what Tom Kirk was trying to pursue, I think at the direction of the board at one point.
I think Jim Hannon is.
Jim, can you shed some light on that?
I continue not to be optimistic regarding Deep. I think Pauline said something, and I swore to myself that I wasn't going to say anything today, but I guess that lasted about 10 minutes. When Pauline was talking about how she got discouraged because instead of leading, whether it's the state, the governor's office, or Deep, instead of leading, it's a case of, okay, well, what do you guys want? Well, we could have told you what we wanted in 2014, but in 2022, I just want to know July 1st, where my trash is going.
Yeah.
And what cost.
Yeah. And so, Jim, my recollection is that the RFPs that Mira has on the street right now are due back this week or next week, very shortly.
Yeah, I think it's next week, Peter. And there's been some, there's certainly been some interest.
No, maybe in 2 to 3 weeks we'll have a better sense of at least what that outlook may be for July 1st of 22.
Yeah, I think Mira's legal opinion there, if I recollect what Tom said correctly, is that he said that they felt that their current permit allowed for them to become a transfer station. Deep disagrees with that interpretation. Exactly. So yep. I think there might be some legal wranglings with regards to that, to see who ends up as sort of the winner, unless they come to some sort of compromise or understanding. And I think that might be possible once there's sort of, I think Deep might be more inclined to have Mira become a transfer station once there is a long-term plan. Because once there's a long-term plan, then Hartford might be more inclined to support it. Hartford would not be inclined to, there might be more support.
Yeah.
Once there's some sort of plan that where there's a light at the end of the tunnel, as opposed to just, we're gonna do this indefinitely.
Yeah, well, I would certainly hold out that optimism as well, that, you know, if their viewpoint is what do the mirror towns want to do? Well, at least the capital region has taken the initiative to try to answer that. And that, you know, with the request, I think concurrently, you know, working with the leadership of the city of Hartford, being able to convey to the state administration that, hey, things are in the works, but we can't just pull the rug out completely. Obviously Mira is going to have to make some contractual, and many of us are going to have to make contractual decisions. You know, not too soon after the first of the year, I would imagine the first quarter of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a lot of, you know, calendar crunch, if you will. So anybody else have any questions, comments? Jim Hayden, you did very, very nice biting your tongue. Thank you. All right. So Pauline, this will be on this discussion will be on the policy board meeting for next Wednesday.
Correct.
And I would imagine there's probably be a series of questions there. Hopefully there'll be general consensus, at least to give guidance to staff at that point. Mm-hmm. I have wild guesses on what this could cost. And that's a little bit of concern I have, is how to write an RFP that is not so wide open that somebody's, you know, the consultants can't really come back with a decent, you know, price or order of magnitude. So that's going to be a challenge. And maybe it has to be a two-step thing. Maybe it's a request for qualifications, and which maybe. I know drags it out. Unfortunately, it drags it out, which we don't have a ton of time. I mean, this thing could be six figures before you even know it.
Yeah, I would think that. There's a possibility.
And then that just, so.
Fun times.
All right. Paul, if we're good on that one, we'll move to some possible funding opportunities that are through EDA and through FEMA.
Right.
So all yours, Pauline.
Okay. So I'll run through these and we'll share these slides with the group after the meeting, is that we are currently, there's an EDA grant called Build Back Better that's out, that the due date for that application is due October 17th. And we are working on an application partnering with the Knowledge Corridor north of us. So PVPC, Capital Workforce Partners, Mass Higher Hampton County, and among others. It primarily focuses on some workforce development, as well as, it's not in this these points because we added it later, but entrepreneurship and technical assistance with regards to advanced manufacturing and assistance there. And so DECD let us know that the state will not be submitting an application for Build Back Better, but they did say that they would support up to four applications from Connecticut, and to submit a two-page summary by last Friday. So we did that based on this partnership, and we're waiting to hear back from DECD on whether we would be one of the applications that they would support. I'm sort of of the mind that if DECD does not support this application, then this will be DOA before it even gets to the EDA, because they are awarding 50 to 70 grants through the Build Back Better program. For phase one. And so we're guessing the state of Connecticut has a shot at probably one. With the bi-state partnership, we might have a shot at two between, you know, with Massachusetts. We might have an extra shot because we're incorporating Western Massachusetts, but nobody's holding their breath. We don't know what Massachusetts, the state, is doing. Although the rumors are that they're going to be focusing on offshore wind farms, which completely cuts out Western Massachusetts as being able to benefit from that. And if they do go with something like offshore wind farms, then Western Mass will be, not only these groups, but the other partners will be completely on board with us and supporting us. Ongoing discussions. We discussed potentially expanding the geography in order to make it a stronger application to, you know, south of us, down the 91 corridor, which is what makes the most logical sense, or even going west to, you know, off to towards the Haiti 4 area. But the complexities of adding additional EDDs and workforce boards and partnerships was just, EDA said they wanted a moonshot, but the last time we tried a moonshot, we got killed. So we're trying to keep it something that we know we can manage. So that's sort of more informational for the group. The other thing, the big thing, is FEMA funding. So FEMA made a presentation to our regional, to the statewide recovery steering committee, as well as, and we shared this with the regional recovery steering committee, and they are proposing to be sort of matchmakers for recovery, for long-term recovery from the pandemic. And they were sort of, it was very unclear, I think, in terms of what those recovery projects could cover. It's basically, the examples they gave were an establishment of a data center in Maine that helped a defunct mill recover. Another was, I don't remember the other example. They were just, it seemed like it was whatever, and just identify areas where that need some sort of economic recovery or recovery from the pandemic. And we'll see if we can, and the statewide committee is going to prioritize them, and we'll see if we can find money for you. That was sort of the presentation. And I actually thought of, you know, we may as well throw in MIRA, the fixing of MIRA and solid waste issue into this mix, as one of the, you know, I'm not holding my breath on it, but it seemed like it could be anything and everything.
So, Pauline, can I just ask a clarifying question? Is this FEMA money, or they would go, FEMA is suggesting that they would go out there and help search for all the different buckets?
Say FEMA would go out and help search for different buckets through their interagency, through agencies, through, you know, whatever, HUD, whoever. So they would help find, marry the need with the money that may or may not be out there. So that was sort of, and in terms of timing, not a lot of time, of course. So the project overviews, it's a very straightforward application. And I will say we did throw in, we talked with NECOG and we threw in one for Crumbling Foundation's assessments for public buildings and commercial buildings, because that's an area that hasn't been done. It was very small. But we put in for that, but the main deadline is October 7th to DECD, and then DECD will prioritize that and deliver it to FEMA for FEMA to sort of see if they can find money for it. I'm happy to take questions on this. But you probably know as much as I do now.
Okay, so DECD wants an overview submittals by the first week of October. Okay, and so one idea that's been floated at this point is the assessment of foundations of public and commercial buildings.
Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, they said they want the bigger the better, was the quote from FEMA. I said, well, at some point in time, I might put together something that surrounds the solid waste issue in central Connecticut and try to put something through there. But I'm not going to hold my breath on it actually bearing fruit.
Any ideas, concepts that committee members want to put on the table?
I would say anything and everything you might have is, you know.
I guess I'll just look at it. I look at the, go back to some of the multiple plans that are out there, regional plans. I do like the focus of the EDA, you know, bi-state effort.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at what the attrition that's going to occur in the manufacturing world in the, you know, not only now, but the next 5 to 10 years is mm-hmm. pretty tremendous on a statewide basis. If you look at those numbers, mm-hmm. I don't know if we'd be, you know, hurting ourselves by putting that out there, but when you look at the southeastern part of the state, I mean, with EB and those folks, I mean, they have a tremendous amount of projected attrition. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like you put it, you know, that's one thought I had, and it meets our SEDS mm-hmm. goals. And the other one that pops into mind is, I can't remember the name of the program that I think East Hartford and Hartford have, is it Innovations? It was through the Boston Reserve. They have a program, like East Hartford has a program called East Hartford Connect, and it does a lot of job training. And I'm just wondering if there's, you know, to scale up some of those efforts. And I think Hartford, East Hartford, I thought New Haven also had been awarded, I think it was 4 in the state that had been awarded. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. I think their money may be running out. I love the idea of the solid waste. I just don't think we're at a position to make a you know, cogent argument for that. John?
So I don't know whether this is applicable or not, but I'm going to share another failed UConn story. For the last 2.5 years, there's this private financier who wants to put together a autonomous vehicle research center, and UConn couldn't move fast enough to work out giving them land. But there's a couple of professors up there that spent a lot of time on this, and they 2 weeks ago said, we're done with UConn. They have a couple other spots in Connecticut they are looking at, but they need a track facility similar to what is Consumer Reports has for vehicle testing. But they would be testing all sorts of control devices for roadways and vehicle control devices. And all the engineers at UConn were all excited about it. And it fell apart because UConn couldn't decide what to do with land on a North campus, on a Depot campus. So I don't know whether, you know, we had a person who had private sector money. And I've tried to turn them back to Advanced CT, but that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So I don't know whether this moonshot. Our moonshot is actually autonomous vehicles and autonomous mm-hmm. roadways, smart roads.
Interesting. Hadn't heard about that, John. Thanks for sharing that one.
I could get information on it. I have a PowerPoint presentation from about a year ago.
Yeah.
The people at UConn are just, the professors who were the contact people are just frustrated because nobody could decide. Matt's used to that type of approach.
What kind of acreage roughly, John? Talking
60 acres maybe?
60 in that ballpark. Yep. That could be the reuse for Brandon Field.
It could be. Actually, I mentioned Rensselaer because they're selling the runway.
Yeah, they're all in the market. Rensselaer's all in the market.
And an office building, so they could actually move right in.
So.
Sure.
John, I'd be interested in seeing that PowerPoint just to learn a little bit more about what the heck they're up to.
So, I'll send it to Pauline.
Yeah, great. Anybody, any other thoughts, ideas, if we're in the brainstorming mode?
I would say throw anything and everything at the wall. This is one of those things where, you know, the project description, those questions, it's like 13 questions. It's very brief. And I can share that with the, I can share the questions with the committee afterwards, but I'd be willing to throw anything at the wall. If you have, you know, a intertown or intratown, like a, you know, Plainville has something with Southington that they've been wanting to do for a while. Let's just throw it against the wall and see what happens. I mean, there's no loss in saying, and if there isn't anything that comes of it, we haven't lost very much.
So Peter and Pauline, this is Matt. If applicable, I wanted to suggest stormwater infrastructure.
Great.
You know, I know West Hartford, you know, we've been significantly impacted. We're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars of improvements over the next couple of decades. And I think Newington and Weathersfield are in a similar situation to a lesser extent, but still significant.
Great. I think that's a great one. I would just say, email me.
Well, let's share the questionnaire, the 13
yep.
questions. That may help to frame it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I got all sorts of crazy ideas floating around my head, but I don't want to just throw them out there. And
I think it, as town as municipal services members, feel free to I'll share the link out as well with that DECD sent out. So feel free to fill it out yourself and just let me know that you have, so that we can keep track of what we've requested. Because I don't really I don't they haven't said that other people can't. So
yeah.
So okay. May as well. So,
all right.
We are, sorry, that's a status report. I want to introduce to you Robin Nichols, who just started with us at the end of August. She's on my screen, she's over on the left, but why don't you wave, Robin, so you can, she's the new principal program manager here. And we're very excited to have her. She's going to be taking over IT services, or she is, as well as so some of the job portal, EDMS, and solid waste. So when that solid waste consultant RFP goes out, Robin will be the author of that. And her first day, I think I gave her like a 6-page or a 5-page thing on all the things that she had to learn. So we're very excited to have her. Robin comes from Hartford Hospital, and she has a lot of experience. She has a law degree, and she has a lot of experience in doing different things. And so we're very excited to have her on with us.
Great. Welcome, Robin.
Hi. That was me that just sent that one question in too. I'm curious about that money as well, what we could actually go apply for. So I'm learning about all of your programs, and they are vast. and I definitely was thrown right into the mix. So I appreciate it. I'm excited. And the sky is the limit here. So let's do it. I've already filed my first or posted my first RFP. I'm working on some IT website redesign, and we're going from that to solid waste. So we are all over the place.
Welcome to the municipal services world.
Thank you. Yeah, I went to Quinnipiac, so I'm back in my old home state. So
there you go. never a dull moment at CROG. There's there no is doubt not. About that.
It's a great group. So thank you.
Great.
We're excited to have her. I think with regards to the other status reports, if anybody has any questions on any of the reports, I think it was, please feel free to reach out to Kim, sure. Robin, myself, or Eric. The other thing that we wanted to highlight was job portal. I think everybody had the demonstration in May. Mm-hmm. They've made some improvements based on the feedback from the group at that time. And we are ready to have some towns test this baby out. And we're recruiting. So I would say that if there are towns that are interested, we'll be giving out a handout at Policy Board as well. The person to contact will be Robin.
All righty. So you're looking for folks that are communities that are interested, and you have any particular, you like to have a whole range of possibilities, right? Small, medium, large, if possible. Correct.
Yeah. We'd like to have a breadth of different towns because everybody's going to use it differently. And we, you know, at this time, some municipalities might have some postings, others may not at this point in time. So we'd like to see how each one of you might use it differently and kind of feel around for it. So yeah, I mean, we need at least three towns to start the actual testing of it. And if we can get more, that'd be even better. So I think we actually got a walkthrough of it as it's kind of new and improved right now, and it seems very user-friendly. So I think it would be great if we can get a few of you to sign up and get on board. They will offer individual webinars as well, and we can actually provide all the information on how to walk you through it too. It's very simple. So
great. One possible thought, just to, it has been a while since the Policy Board and mm-hmm. even Municipal Services has reviewed it. Maybe we can put that idea out on at the Policy Board. But maybe just a quick, you know, setting up maybe a quick demo,
okay.
refresher.
Yeah.
And that way there folks can get back in tune and say, okay, yeah, I'm willing to be a pilot program or not. Maybe that might just help refresh everyone's mind to what the capabilities are as currently configured.
Perfect. Right. Yeah. We could set something up that could, you know, a 15, 20 minute real quick walkthrough.
That way they would
get their capabilities. Yep.
Yeah. So
perfect.
Great. Peter, this is Matt. A quick follow-up on that. I assume we could invite our HR folks to that session.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah. Because on the back end, you in your HR, whoever would be setting up the job descriptions and the portals on that and would be the ones in control. So that would be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good.
Do we have that information as to who those contacts would be, Pauline? Or is that something we need to ask our committee for?
I think what we'll do is we'll send the invite for the demo to Policy Board members and Municipal Services members, and mm-hmm. then they can pass it on to their HR department.
Okay.
So we could figure out a date with Novus and then go from there.
Okay.
In a few weeks, maybe, so that give time to for people to have availability.
Okay. Okay.
That gives an opportunity for us to do a little strong arming and encouraging and negotiation with our personnel folks. So.
Well, you know what's kind of nice about it? It's all going to be in one location if you actually use it. And like I said, coming from the other side and having to apply for multiple job sites and everything, this actually is a one stop shop, which is actually kind of nice. So I think they might actually like it. And then just offer them like a gift card or something.
That's right.
So here's a free coffee. Good stuff. Not the stuff we make in the office.
I owe a lot of people coffee around here, so well, I gotta come up with something different.
Give them a donut.
All righty. Anything else on status reports, Pauline?
Or no.
Kim? Great. All right. So going to the next agenda item, general municipal information sharing. What's Pauline?
I have one from Simsbury, and Maria reached out to me wanting to know if the municipalities would be interested in a DEI RFQ, so diversity, equity, and inclusion training, and another consultant policy reviews and things like that, a consultant request for qualifications so that towns would have be able to access that more easily. And I know there's a few towns that might be interested in that. So I wanted to float that with the committee to see if there would be other towns as well. It'd be something that we would pull together here, and then the towns would be able to hire one, two of three of we would choose some of the qualified vendors, and then the process would be completed for towns to be able to access. So, see.
Well, I can offer up the RFP that the town did the town of Windsor did 9 months ago as a starting, as a piece of framework. There certainly are. Yeah. So I know we're continuing down that path. So it's a, we had all of our employees, full-time and part-time, went through, depending upon if they're supervisors or not, all went through at least a 2.5 hour DEI session. And now we're moving into our next stage, which is going to be some policy review. And so.
Great.
I'm more than happy to share that with you, Pauline, just as a starting point.
Pauline, I think we'd probably be interested. We've kind of been tossing it around and don't have, I think it would be helpful to have a menu of, I guess, best practices to choose from with consultants that have already been selected. So I think we'd appreciate the assist.
Okay. Great. All right. Well,
so Pauline, I have a question. I saw this, an old name come back up on my emails this week. Miss Goulet.
Oh, yes. So it's unfortunately, she's not working for municipal services. She is working for the planning department now. So yes, Maureen Goulet is back at CROG. Yay. Although not working for me, but that's okay. I'll concede that. She is actually primarily going to be working on the Brownfields program. And I don't know, I think a lot of you knew Lynn Pike DeSanto. She recently retired. And Maureen basically took her place.
That's great.
So we're excited to have her. We as well. She's going to be working on brownfields, and she'll be working with Tim and us also on EDA and long term recovery and SEDS things as well. So as long as we can get Tim to sort of release that from his. But we're excited to have her.
Okay, great. That helpful because I didn't know what role exactly she was playing. So okay, great.
Right. Not for me, unfortunately, but you know, good for CROG anyhow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anybody else have any other items to share or questions of CROG staff or others? Hey John, go ahead. See your hand.
Thanks. Can we get an update on the records document management?
Yes. We've had some challenging issues with OnBase with regards to EDMS. And we're looking at what our options are with regards to retaining what we have, but moving to something that's more basically more affordable for CROG and the member towns. So that's where that is. We don't want to. I know Coventry is you guys are want to get on board, but. That's where that is right now. So the plan is to move to something that's more manageable in terms of the IT side, the back end side, and then take things from there.
Okay.
So. I did have one more thing, and I don't know if this is something that we want to pursue or not, but the Navy approached us. They have a
partner. You want to buy a ship now?
I'd like put to
that
just...
put that into FEMA request.
Submarine.
We're going to build an ark with all this rain we've been getting. We decided we'll build an ark.
We may be needing a sub.
I'm sorry, Pauline.
No, so they apparently have some sort of federal program where they cannot procure directly from private vendors, but they can piggyback off of procurement that other people have done, such as, you know, such as we do. And they would, what they would do is pay us for, so let's say they want fencing. We purchase the fencing, they pay us back, and we get an administrative fee out of it. And I was
10% margin. Go for it.
Okay. So,
interesting.
But I wasn't sure if that was something that we would want to pursue. I mean, the reason why they reached out to us was because of CRPC and our experience there. So I'm plus minus about it.
You know, kind of intriguing. I'm not sure what that adds in terms of process for you folks or legal agreements or anything like that. Or they just become a member. We need to have, but
yeah.
So if it's not a lot of work on the staff's part, I don't know at a very high level what's the downside. But I'm sure there could be something there that.
I'm sure there's a downside.
Change all the rules and it takes 17 years to procure something now.
But. I'm sure there's a downside. Well, we'll look into it a little bit further and then report back.
Well, glad we're on the Navy's radar.
Yeah.
All righty. Anybody else have anything else for the good of the order? If you guys have ideas for future Municipal Services Committee, please feel free to share those with Pauline and or myself. That way there we can make sure we're addressing and handling stuff that the committee members want to see discussed. So, all right. Thank you, everyone. And so at this point, we will be adjourned. And our next meeting is in October?
I believe
it's the 19th.
19? All righty, October 19th. Yes, it is. So.
And then the next meeting after that is, I believe, December 7th. Yeah. Because it combines the November and December meeting because we don't want to meet right before Thanksgiving.
Thank you for the reminder.
So we have turkey and Christmas cookies.
I'll chat you out an emoji of a cookie.
Oh, goodness. I know I do miss those lunches at Kraga. I don't know. Maybe we'll get back to there someday.
Yeah.
Don't get Maury going.
It'll be the cheapest lunch ever around for $5.
We could also discuss the possibility of having hybrid meetings if people are interested in coming down to maybe Hartford.
Maybe we see where we are in December. Maybe that would be a good one. Hey, John, go ahead.
Yeah, so maybe we should have a on the road meeting and walk down the block to Park Street.
Hartville Market.
Yeah. Now you got my fantastic interest going.
So, except you'll definitely be spending more than $5 at Parkville Market.
Yeah, well, you can grab your own food and pay for it yourself. But
yeah,
but I think it's a place of innovation, and we ought to celebrate it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great.
Good idea.
Good. That's great. All right. On that note, I'm gonna go get lunch.
Wonderful.
All righty, folks. All the best.
Bye. Nice to meet you. Thank you.